James chapter number 1. Look at some things today by the grace of God out of the book of James, and we'll travel around the Bible a little bit and other places. But let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love You, and we thank You for the opportunity to meet here today, Lord. And Lord, here we are meeting together expecting something from You, Lord. If You'll meet with us, we'll just praise You and honor You for it, Lord. We need You. Show up and breathe on this message. Breathe on each and every one of us as hearers of Your Word. And help us not to leave here as just hearers, but doers also, Lord. We love You and thank You for everything You do. Thank You for Your mercy and grace. Thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm just so thankful that You saved my wretched soul, Lord. I need You to show up and meet with us today. And Lord, if anybody in here is not saved, that You'd make today the day of their salvation, Lord, that they'd see clearly that Jesus Christ is the only way. And it's not about church membership. It's not about water baptism. It's about calling on Jesus Christ, trusting Him and Him alone. And Lord, help us to never take for granted what You've given us. We love You and thank You and praise You in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. James chapter number 1. Beginning in verse number 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to look at some things in these verses by the grace of God. The first thing I want to see in verses 2 through 4, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The method of growth. I want to see the method of growth here. And that method of growth is talking about patience. It's talking about patiently trusting God for everything. I remember when I first got saved, I remember my wife and I were newlywed. I know y'all can't believe I remember all the way back then. Amen. But I do remember when we were fairly newly married. And it seemed like just yesterday, man. I remember we'd go into, that dreaded place, Walmart. Sometimes we'd pull into a Walmart, and we'd drive around two or three times around those lanes, and there wouldn't be any place to park. And then the next thing you know, we'd get up there and get a parking spot, two or three spots from the door, and my wife would say, praise the Lord. And I was a new Christian. I just thought God was good about everything, but I thought that's kind of, praise the Lord for a parking spot. But you know what I realized after a while? Every gift from God is a blessing. Whether it's a good place to park or a good opportunity to witness or, if you have an opportunity to preach the gospel to somebody, whether it's giving them a tract or just taking them through the plan of salvation or telling them, hey, inviting them to church or whatever it is, what a blessing from God to be able to do that. We are able to get up in the morning and breathe His air. We are able to get up in the morning and walk on legs by His grace, by His mercy. We walk into this building this morning. Praise God. Amen. So when you get that parking spot, you don't have to go to Walmart. It could be Kroger. It'd be all right. Amen. But when you get that parking spot, praise God. And sooner or later, that becomes contagious. You ever been around some folks and you'd be talking to different people about different things, and then somebody would be around you for 4 or 5 minutes and you say, praise God. The next thing you know, they start praising God. You ever notice that? You ever go witness to somebody and they go, oh, I'm saved? And you go, well, I'd have never guessed, everything that was going on. But, I don't say anything, Next thing you know, they're talking about the Lord and asking God to bless you and all kinds of stuff. You know what it does? It encourages others when you start praising God and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That might be what somebody needs just to get them out of the slump. It might be what somebody needs to get them focused back on Jesus Christ, just to hear to know they're not in the battle alone. Because the devil will tell you that. Devil ever tell you that? You're in a battle alone? Ain't nobody believes the truth anymore. Nobody wants anything to do with church anymore. Nobody wants any Bible anymore. Nobody wants to grow spiritually. They just want to be saved, be on their way to heaven, and live like the devil. And sometimes that is true. There are a lot of folks out there like that, but you're not the only one. There are other people out there that are trying to do right. But just praise God, trust Him for everything. Trusting Him for the little things will build your faith and allow you to trust Him for the bigger things. Amen? A lot of Christians are just destroyed when a moderate to severe storm comes in their life because they never trusted God for anything but salvation before. But let me ask you this. If He can save your soul and give you a spot in eternity, and you go over to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, what can He not do? God can do anything but cross His word and lie. But if you're going to grow, you're going to grow by putting your faith in God. That method of growth is by patiently waiting on God. And you know what He'll do? He'll sit down beside you while you wait. He'll bring you peace and comfort while you wait. And then He'll take a step out in the right direction, because He always walks in the right direction. And He'll call you along in the right direction if you patiently wait and trust God. There's a method of growth, and there's a means of wisdom. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That method, that means of wisdom, is by calling on God for it. You're not going to get it from a psychology book. Amen. You're not going to get it from a health book. Amen. Now, you'll get some knowledge and you'll get some direction from your health care provider, but you're not going to get wisdom from your doctor. You're going to get wisdom from the great physician. You call on God for wisdom, that's how you get it. What do you do with it? You let wisdom dictate your walk. Amen. If you don't let wisdom dictate your walk, you'll walk around as a fool. Amen. People are either one thing or the other. They're either wise or foolish. And if they reject God, they're foolish. And if you're living eternally by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ and you don't follow Him, that's foolish. Psalm 37 tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. You ever realize sometimes we get in a spot in life and we're just not delighting in our way because it's not His way? Because we're not letting Him order our steps. Proverbs 37 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now, Solomon was a wise man, but he made some mistakes, some on purposes. The wisest man that ever lived is Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be wise, you're going to walk with Him. So there's a method of growth, and that's patiently waiting on God and trusting Him for everything. There's a means of wisdom, that's by calling on Him and letting Him dictate, direct your steps. And I want to see in verse 7 and 8, it says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to look for just a little bit today about the mind of man. I guess if I was going to title this message, I would title it Identity Crisis. Identity Crisis. Because honestly, the whole world's having an identity crisis. I mean, there is a system set up by the devil, the god of this world, set up by man, led by the pride of man and the pride of the devil, that allows you to hear on a regular basis that there is no God. They're trying to identify this world as a world that just happened to accidentally come into existence. That's crazy. They're trying to identify this world and the people in it as people that don't need God. You see, this whole world is in an identity crisis. And then we look at all the craziness. It used to just be pretty much localized out there in California. Amen? That was a joke about the land, the fruits, and the flakes. But all these people that have an identity crisis. And what's your pronoun? All this junk about, we and me and they and I and what people identify as. They're having an identity crisis. And you say, well, the public school system, and praise the Lord, the public school system has gone to the devil for the most part. There's a lot of stuff in there that needs to be taken out. And they need to put a Bible back in it, amen? They need to put Jesus Christ right in the center of it and teach people where they came from and where they could go instead of making up all these lies. But there's an identity crisis in this world because people are being lied to. And it's real easy to look around and say, well, the last 20, 30 years is where this come to a head. And I agree with that. It's really come to a head. But you know what? It's not just the young folks. And it's not just the school system. It's not just people of this day. I think born-again believers are in an identity crisis. Amen. When you go to school, when you went to school 40, 50 years ago even, they taught you that what you did for a living and what you ended up possessing decided what you were. It determined your identity, amen? And that's what people believe today in the United States of America. You ever wonder why people in another country that don't have anything but maybe bugs and rice to eat that live in the dirt hunt will strap a bomb on themselves for their religion and blow themselves up? Because they're focused on that religion. They don't have a lot of stuff distracting them from that religion. That religion is evil, it's wicked, it's wrong, but they're focused on it. Their attention is not spread all over different things. It's focused on one thing. And Christians have an identity crisis. We can't even focus on Jesus Christ anymore. Blood-bought, born-again believers are focused on everything but the truth most of the time. Amen. Because we are taught from a young age to believe in yourself, to work hard, to go for that brass ring, to obtain some kind of a profession or some kind of a job that's going to do this, that, or the other, and it's going to define you. It's going to make you who you are, and then people can look at you and decide who you are by where you work, what you do for a job, and what you have in your driveway. People are having an identity crisis. They think that that $80,000 Ford pickup or that $80,000 Dodge diesel makes them who they are. Why do you think the car market's where it is today? Why do you think they can charge $50,000 for a Camaro with a four-cylinder or six-cylinder in it? Because people want to pretend they're something they're not. They go home at night, they close their eyes, they realize they're wicked, they realize they have no help, no hope without the Lord, they don't want the Lord, they realize that one of these days they're going to die and it's either going to be hell or it's all going to be over with, depending on what you believe. And truth is, it's going to be hell or heaven. But they want to believe that it could just be they're going back to the grave, but their end is coming. They know that, and they want to pretend to be something else, pretend to have some value by sliding their carcass into something that looks shiny and new and pretending like they are somebody they're not. It's an identity crisis. We have been led to believe that we are defined by what we own or what we do for a living. But you should be defined by how you match up with the words of God. Christians are having an identity crisis. Confused. Double-minded. Indoctrinated by the devil to believe a lie. In Lamentations chapter 3, it says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." So what you focus on will dictate the direction of your heart. Amen. What you focus on, what your goals are, will dictate the direction of your heart. And if your goal is to love Jesus Christ more, to read your Bible more, to pray more, to walk closer with Him, and to be more like Him, then your heart will be right. But we've been lied to by the world and the flesh to believe that our worth is somehow connected to worldly things. I remember when I graduated from chiropractic school 100 years ago, I remember walking across that stage, and I remember that gave me up that, it wasn't even a real paper. The real one they mailed to me, but they had this rolled up piece of paper, and they handed it to me, shook my hand. The old boy smiled. He smiled because he got all my money, right? And he gave me that piece of paper, and you know what I thought? I didn't think, man, look at me, I'm somebody. I thought, phew, I'm glad I survived that. Praise God. That was hard work. I learned something about me. I didn't have to quit. I could set a goal and make it. But when I got into practice, I realized God showed me real soon that my identity was not a doctor. My identity was a saved man telling other people how to get saved. He showed me that real quick. He showed me some things about that practice. He showed me people that I thought were going to get better that didn't, people I thought couldn't get better that did, and he showed me that praying to Him, being the great physician, that He decided what went on in there, not me. And it was up to me to decide whether I witnessed, but it was up to Him whether the healing took place. Amen. He showed me real quick it's not about that piece of paper. I'll tell you what, that piece of paper, I still have it today. That thing's huge. I got my high school diploma. It's like a tiny little thing. Which really, it was an act of God that I made through high school, as honored as I was. But it was a little bitty thing. But then, see, the devil, I get through the doctorate program, and I get this huge. So my eye could see that. and it could affect my heart. But you know what? I got that piece of paper today, and it means less to me than one song sang in this church with a church family. Amen. It means less to me than being able to pull out one Bible tract and hand it to a lost sinner. Amen. Now, I'm thankful for God's mercy and His grace. He let me live long enough to make some mistakes. Amen. And he still let me go on mistakes. But the stuff of this world does not define me unless I let it. Unless we let it. You see, Christians, saved folks, are in an identity crisis. This last few years showed that, the confusion and all the fear and everything that's going on outside these walls. And you listen to Good Night. I don't know what news media you could listen to that you weren't being lied to, but all the stuff about, and look, I'm not saying that the virus isn't real. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you've been lied to so much you don't know who to trust, and the next thing you know, you're paralyzed with fear. You know what the Bible says? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. A lot of folks let CNN decide whether they went to church or not. Amen. A lot of folks let CBS or MSNBC decide whether they went out and handed out a tract instead of trusting the Lord. And whatever decision you make between you and the Lord, if it's His will, praise God. If His will for you is different than somebody else's, God does that. I understand that He does that sometimes. But I'm telling you, you got to trust Him. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You see, saved people have become double-minded. They have. You know what happens to a double-minded man? He's unstable in women too, amen, not just men. In all of his ways. In all his ways. So if you listen to church music on Sunday and the devil's music on Monday, you're double-minded. You read God's book on Sunday and some filth out there that man wrote that's garbage that you shouldn't even have in your possession, you're double-minded. If you want to come in and, I used to bow hunt. I love bow hunting. I like deer hunting a lot. But I'd focus in. I'd spend a lot of time setting up and getting my stand in the right place. I'd pray about it. The Lord would show me where to put the stand. Praise God. That's the only reason I ever got any deer. Amen. The Lord's smarter than I am. That was obvious. So I figured I'd ask Him. But I had to put that target on Him, try to take Him home. I had to put that sight on Him. Well, a lot of people show up Sunday morning and they put their sight on Jesus for the first time in 6 years. And they'll try to take a little Jesus home with them. And what happens is they're double-minded. Because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they're all focused on the world. On gathering up the gold and silver of the world. On trying to impress the neighbors. On trying to fulfill the desires of the flesh, which will never happen. If you don't believe that won't happen, look at the basketball stars and all this stuff out there. You know what? You talk about LeBron James every once in a while. I don't mind kicking him once in a while. The guy needs to get saved and get right, but... You know, this guy's got more money than he could ever spend. Now what's he want? He's not satisfied with that. What's he want? He wants to be king. He wants to make your decisions for you. He wants to tell you how to live. He wants to advise you on your health care. Bill Gates, a guy that couldn't take care of the viruses in Microsoft, wants to tell you how to get around a virus, a real one. Amen. Matter of fact, off the subject, but he probably created the viruses for Microsoft because he probably got money in the virus companies too, but that's another story. But the thing is, they want you to focus on them. They get all the money, they get all this spotlight, and that's not enough. They want to tell you, they want to be king. Just like the devil told God. He said, I shall ascend the sides of the north, I shall be like the Most High. He's going to put his throne up there above God. He wants to be just like God. But you know what he found out? The job's already taken. You know what LeBron James is going to find out one of these days? The job's already taken. You know what blood-bought, born-again believers that want to rule their own life and want to be their own king, want to be their own God, want to do things their way, they're going to find out the hard way the job's already been taken. There's one God. And He expresses Himself in three parts, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's one God. Amen? So the devil's upset because the job's already taken. One of these days, LeBron, I hope he gets saved, but those guys like that, they're going to be upset because the job's already taken. Matter of fact, all their money, all the fame, all the power, all the prestige, all the cars, all the houses, all the mansions, everything they had, every ability that they had, there's going to be nothing when they're standing before Jesus Christ. And one of these days, if they don't get saved, they're going to stand before Him. Everything else is going to mean nothing. They're going to try to justify living a wicked life, and God's going to cast them into a lake of fire forever. Ever and ever and ever and ever, and nothing on this earth will mean anything anymore. They're having an identity crisis. It's terrible. People are in love with stuff, carnal things. Amen? It's a heart problem. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 2. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? Now look, I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. There's something wrong with stuff having you. But there's also something to be said for having what you need and not chasing everything you want. Amen? Because another crowd that's done more damage to this world than probably the psychologist and all that garbage that goes on in the school system is the evangelical, not the evangelical, the prosperity crowd, the prosperity preachers telling you God wants you to have everything. God doesn't want you to have everything. God said He'll take care of your needs, and He wants to have what you can handle. And God doesn't want to give you more than He can handle. But the devil will. You think God, if a professional athlete gets out of bed in the morning, praise God, it's because of His grace and His mercy. And I know if they have a talent, it's from God, praise God, they ought to give it back to Him, so He let them keep it, amen. But do you think God gives them all that stuff? No. Most of the time they make a deal with the devil. And some of the folks start out in church worshiping the Lord, and then they get outside the church house, and then they start worshiping themselves. And then the devil starts loading them up with what they want. And the next thing you know, there's no end. It's good to have what you need. Amen? It's not good to have everything you want. People have a heart problem. In Acts chapter number 2, beginning in verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You notice what it says there in verse number 46? With gladness and singleness of heart. You know, the Bible uses that word a couple times. He talks about singleness of eye, and He talks about singleness of heart. That singleness of heart is what a church has to have to glorify God. That's everybody focused on glorifying Jesus Christ. But that singleness of heart is dictated by the eye. We just heard about that earlier in Lamentation 3. "Mine eye affecteth my heart." Where your focus is will decide where your heart is, and where your heart is will decide what treasure you have or don't have when you get to stand before the Lord. Now look, I understand where we're at. We're in a different time. And it says, "And they sold all possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." I'm not saying you can't own anything. I'm not saying sell everything and let's join a cult and move to another city and all drink Kool-Aid. I'm not saying that stuff. What I'm saying is they got to verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That verse is in there, and it's possible because, not because they didn't own anything, because their things didn't own them. They let go of the world. My brother Jerry used to say, let go and hang on to Jesus with both hands. They were able to let go of the things. Look, these people got saved and they had possessions. And then afterwards they let go of their possessions. And again, I'm not saying you can't have things. I'm saying that 47 was possible because they did not let their possessions possess them. I've seen people, I've known people that have a yard that you could cut with a pair of scissors in 12 minutes, and they've got a $40,000 lawnmower, or a $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 lawnmower. You know what happens? They become enslaved to a lawnmower that they didn't need because people focus on things. And I'm not saying it's not right, you know, it's wrong to have a zero turn. But I'm saying we should have what we need. Amen? You don't have to have everything you want. But we're so ate up in this society and we have such an identity crisis that we look and we see old Joe down the street, he's got 4 acres and he's got $18,000 zero turn, and yeah, I probably should have, well, I got to get a $19,000 zero turn because, you know, I can start that thing up, push the handle, shut it off, I'm done. Amen? But that's where America is. That's where the world is. We're so worried about keeping up with the Joneses, nobody cares about keeping up with Jesus anymore. So a lot of times saved folks are stuck right here, and the Lord's down the road going, hey, come on. Just like that little baby's learning to walk. Come on. Come on. Let go of the edge of the couch here. Come on, walk to me. He's saying, let go of that riding mower. Let go of that truck. Let go of that mansion. Let go of the world. And come to me. But people have an identity crisis. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon, the wisest man that ever walked the face of this earth besides Jesus Christ, and he goes through and that book of Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters, he goes through and just talks about how he wasted everything in his life. You get to chapter number 2, and he talks about me. I builded me this. I gave me that. I got me that. I did this for me and me and me. On down the line, because, you know, Solomon, he identified as me. He wanted to be him. At first, he identified as God's man. And then he got into an identity crisis, trying to serve the flesh. And it was all about him. In Revelation chapter 3, looking at the Laodicean church age, which we're in right now, at the end of it, the close of it, hopefully the Lord will call us out of here for tonight. But if he doesn't, I hope he strengthens us to keep on going. But the thing is, we're at the end of the Laodicean church age, I believe, probably, who knows, could be the last second, could be the last 100 years, I don't know for sure. But we're at the end of this thing, and we're seeing a selfish bunch of people. Laodicea is the people's rights, me, and God's outside the door knocking, wanting in, you know, the Lord is, And he says that they think, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's where we're at. And that's where the devil wants us. That's where he wants the world. That's where he wants to save people. See, he's not talking about people that are lost. He's talking about people that are having an identity crisis. They're identifying with the things of this world instead of the Savior. And again, please don't leave here thinking you're wrong if you have a $100,000 house or you have a $60,000 car. But if it has you, if it means more to you than church, if it means more to you than your prayer life, if it means more to you than your Bible, if your identity is your work to take care of your carnal needs instead of a Christian, you're wrong. Amen? But Christians, saved folks, are having an identity crisis. You know what Adam and Eve in the garden? Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now, Adam and Eve in the garden, their purpose was not to have a $70,000 truck or a $2 million mansion. Their purpose is defined in Genesis 1, beginning in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. I like that part because I like the fish, I like to hunt. And over the cattle, I like cheeseburgers too. And over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, praise God, he created he them. And blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Their purpose, be fruitful, and multiply. Now I understand what he's telling them physically, to multiply, and fill the earth. But see, blood-bought, born-again believers have been so focused on themselves and focused on the carnal things of this world that we forgot what our purpose is. It's the same thing. Spiritually speaking, be fruitful and multiply. How do we multiply? By witnessing folks. By loving folks. By reaching a hand out to those that are in need. And pointing them to Jesus Christ. But see, we get so caught up in the things of this life and so caught up in the desires of the flesh and so caught up in the trap and the tricks of the devil that we don't really do what we're supposed to do most of the time to save folks. In Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 3, we'll look over there. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, because your affection will determine your direction. And it's good to have things that we need, and God is good to us to give us some of the wants. But they shouldn't have us. Our affection should be set on things of God. On things of God. You see, us, we, he, her, it, all the perversion that's going on outside these walls, and all the confusion, we shouldn't identify as me, I, or even we. We should identify as his. Because if you're here today and you've trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're bought with a price. You're bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. And if you're struggling to serve him, it's not his fault. The problem is people don't love the Bible anymore like they used to. They don't read it. They don't want to submit to it. They're more worried about keeping up with the Joneses instead of serving Jesus Christ. And the true blessings and the true joy and the true happiness comes from being in the will of God. And if you don't believe me, why do you think they had to have a Betty Ford clinic? You know what the Betty Ford clinic was for? All the rich people that couldn't get off the booze and the drugs. Amen. See, look at the people walking down the sidewalk, the heroin addicts. You say, man, what a bunch of fools that made wrong decisions. How about the people that had everything offered, everything this world offered, and they made the same choice? Identity problem. Now, don't get crazy. I mean, what do you identify as today? Do you identify as a citizen of this world, trying to take what you can from this world while you're here? Or a child of the King that has everything looked forward to? Amen. That's it. That's what it boils down to. He's given us eternal life. He's given us his eternal word. And he's given us an opportunity to live for things eternal. Set your affections on things above, not on things this earth. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your word that was made flesh. Thank you for a Bible. Thank you for the blessings you give us, Lord. We know that you'll take care of all of our needs. And Lord, help us to be able to see the difference between wants and needs and be focusing on you, glorifying you, telling others about you. Lord, like I used to say all the time to the guys in prison, we know, and the jail ministries, if we take care of your business, you'll take care of ours. You'll take care of all of our needs, and we thank you for it. Bless us as we go through the day. Keep us safe. Lord, if your will is to have us back in here on Wednesday night, that you'd bless the service Wednesday night. And Lord, bless the upcoming prayer meeting. We love you and thank you for everything you do. Help us to get a better view of who we are, what you've done for us, and what you expect of us. That we wouldn't be caught in an identity crisis as safe folks. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.